welcome to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, this is Joanna Penn for the Creative Pen Podcast, and today I'm interviewing Rajiv Dhawan. Rajiv is an author, speaker and peak performance coach based in Sydney, Australia. His book, Be, Do, Live, is a personal growth and achievement roadmap, and he's here today to help with the questions of motivation and overcoming procrastination to actually achieve your goal of writing a book. So welcome, Rajiv.
Thank you, Joanna. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you here, because this is one of the questions I get all the time is, how can I actually write my book? How can I actually do it? You know, so can you briefly start off by telling us a bit about you, about your book, and also what is a peak performance coach?
Okay, sure. So, Joanna, I think of myself as a world citizen. I've lived and worked in India, in Australia, and in the UK. And over the last sort of 15 years, my focus has been in the area of human potential and personal growth. Prior to that, I was a consultant. I worked with Accenture for about 15 years, and primarily focusing in the financial services areas. So last 10, 15 years has been focused on, you know, how do I help individuals, teams, and organizations with unleashing the potential that's kind of dormant within that. So, answer to your question, what does a peak performance coach do? You know, it brings out the best in you, uses all the tools and all the frameworks in order for you to tap into to the very best each one of us has. And as you'll know, we're always have more to give than sometimes we do think. And that's really what a peak performance coach does, whether that be with an individual, a team, or an organization.
Fantastic. And just tell us a bit about your book.
Sure. Book, as you mentioned, Be, Do, Live. So it came out about 6 to 8 months ago, and it's on Amazon. And the book's really, in my opinion, it's really a synthesis of what I would call, the best practices that I've had experience of coming into contact with, both the East and the West. And it's really focused on two aspects, is how do you achieve more? But not just that, but how can you be more successful and fulfilled? So a lot of the times there's lots of literature on how to be more successful, quote unquote, in the material terms. And there's lots of books on how to be more fulfilled. And so my book is really an attempt to bring together what I call the best of East and West, and bring some, ageless wisdom and match it with modern know-how, and help people to make changes that last and make progress that is in accordance with the design of their life.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I've got it here in front of me. It's a, you know, it's a brilliant book. I love self-help and self-development books. So that's why I wanted you on the show, was really to help us, to help authors with the big questions. So, how do I beat procrastination and actually write my book? That's a massive question I get on my blog. So what are your top three tips for beating procrastination that can help authors?
Wow. Okay. Top three. So I think the first thing I would say is, and I'll relate a bit of personal experience, is you've really got to have a high enough desire to do something or achieve something, whether that be write a book or something else. So quite often procrastination steps in when the desire isn't high enough. So the first thing I would say is you've got to check in to say, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not at all, 10 being totally, how much of a must is it for me to write a book or do something else? So that would be kind of my number one tip. Number two, I have a belief that people do more for others than they do for themselves, and equally people feel more responsible towards others than they do to themselves. So another tip I would have is, if you can find someone, whether that be a coach, a friend, or a peer, someone who can partner with on your journey. And the purpose of that person is really to hold you accountable. Because I think, you know, again, Joanne, your experience and my experience, it's been when you've made a commitment to someone, you know, you do more to make sure you honor that commitment. And that's what really a good coach does. And the third tip I would say is really just get into motion. Quite often people set lofty goals and have lofty aims, which is fine, and really never make what I call the first start. So, you know, I've got a chapter in the book called, you know, the five causes for the biggest gap, and biggest gap is really the knowing doing gap. And that kind of hits into the whole idea of procrastination. So the third tip I would say is really get started.
No, those are brilliant tips. And I guess just, you know, coming back on that, I like that, you know, how much do you want this? Because so many people say, well, I don't have time. And, you know, realistically, you have to give up something else in order to make time to write your book, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, time is, here's what I say, you know, whether you are a Stephanie Meyer or a Joanna or Rajiv, you all have 24 hours. So time is a convenient excuse in our modern day times to pin things on. And it's really never about time, because it's always about how important is this to you. Because here's this, you know, here's a simple scenario. You know, as much as I'm enjoying this, Joanna, I'm looking really forward to spending the next few minutes with you. If suddenly I get a call that my child is not well or my family is not well, as much as this is important to me, I'll make time to do that. Right, and that really plays the part that time is really never an issue. It's all it really is all about how badly do you want it.
No, absolutely. And I like the accountable too. And I'll just tell everyone, you know, I've joined a writer's group, and often joining a writer's group really helps. So absolutely agree with that as well. Okay, so, you know, you talk a lot in the book about, I guess, confidence, and about, you know, you've got to understand yourself and, you know, understanding your fears. Now, many writers fear rejection, whether it's from a publisher, you know, when they submit their manuscript, or by family or friends. So what advice do you have for people who are, you know, stuck in fear, I guess?
Okay, that's a good one, Jan. So here's what I would say. The first thing is you got to be very clear on why you're writing a book. You know, is it because it's an expression? Is it because you want to be number one bestseller? Is it because you want to make lots of money? Or is it because all of the above? So you've got to be very clear on why you're doing it. And I think depending on how much clarity you have, and depending on the extent to which you're doing it because that's kind of, you've got something to say versus you're worried about the outcome, right? And, you know, Wayne Dyer says, you know, you've got to have a mind that's kind of, you know, open to everything and attached to nothing. So as much as you want to have clarity on why you're writing the book, you've got to be a little bit detached from the results that you might or might not create. And that's kind of like really the step about getting over fear. Because, again, personal example, when I first started writing it, I had no idea whether it'll sell, you know, a single copy. But I knew I had something to say. I had a high enough desire. I knew I had something to say. And I wasn't really concerned about the road, you know, 2 years down the line or 3 years down the line, whether I'm going to be accepted by publishers or whether someone's going to like my book or not. So I would say, you know, the more confidence you can have in yourself and believing that this is an expression of something that you've got to add, the more you sort of approach it from that frame, automatically the fear kind of reduces. Another way to think about this is, you know, not everyone's going to connect with what you say. And you've heard numerous examples, you know, Mark Victor Hansen and Jack Canfield, Chicken Soup from the Soul. I mean, they were rejected by 135 publishers. And, you know, you and I look back and look at the success they've had, you know, over 300 million copies have sold for Chicken Soup for the Soul. You know, Harry Potter, you know, rejected by over 20 publishers. And we've only got to look back to look at what a phenomenon that has created. So getting over fear is, if you have a strong enough desire, if you have a strong enough why, if you believe in yourself, if you believe in what you've written on paper, and you persist, right? And you persist, then fear really has no place.
Yeah, Okay, so acknowledging it and moving on, I guess. No, that's great. Okay, now, also in the book, there's this great concept of a BHAG. Now, I know what a BHAG is, but I think you're going to have to explain to some of the people listening. So can you explain what a BHAG is in the context of people wanting to write a book, and how do people achieve them?
Sure. So BHAG is a term that Jim Collins, you might have heard of. He's a famous author of a book called Built to Last. So he's the one who kind of came up with this term, BHAG. And BHAG stands for Big, Hairy, Audacious Goal. And the way I see it is a goal that is so big, so vast, so scary that, you know, you find it hard to even share with people that you love or anyone that is close to you because it's so scary. So that's what kind of a BHAG is. And in terms of writing a book, It you know, for some people that may be their BHAG. For some people it may not necessarily be writing a book, but selling millions of copies might be a BHAG. It doesn't really matter what your BHAG is. The key is to have one, and I guess that's kind of what Jim Collins preaches, and that's what kind of I've had a go at the book saying. It doesn't really matter what it is, you know, but have one, and have one because it pulls you. I think when you have a goal that's so big, I believe, and if you truly believe that that's going to make a difference, not in just in your life, but in difference of people that you care about, then somehow, you know, the universe helps you. The universe takes steps to kind of help you towards your BHAG. Now, you know, I acknowledge in the book I have a BHAG, and, you know, even mentioning it, thinking about it is scary as can be. But, you know, once I set that BHAG, it's been surprising how many things have happened to help support me, ideas that have come up, people that have helped me along the way to make progress. And I think it's not about necessarily achieving your BHAG, because, you know, my sense is most, if it's a real BHAG, big, hairy, audacious goal, it may take you 20, 30, 50 years or even a lifetime or never. But it's what... And it's the progress you made towards it, which I think makes the biggest difference.
Mm. No, I think that's fantastic. And, you know, for those people who are listening and you haven't written your book yet, then that may be your first, you know, big goal. But, you know, once you have written one, you can get even bigger. And, I'm with you as well, Rajiv. I have a, you know, big dream to be a big famous writer, as I'm sure many people do. But, you know, it takes a long time to get there. So you just take each little step at a time and, you know, break it down into what you can achieve over the years. But, I mean, it's amazing what people can achieve in 5, 10, 15 years, isn't it? I mean, it's amazing.
Mm. And look, I mean, Jana, I'd say, you know, for anyone listening in who has a strong enough desire, you know, writing a book can be achieved, accomplished, you know, anything within a month to, you know, 2, 3, 4 years max. And so in one sense, it's, you know, my sense is having written one and this is the first one, it is so, so achievable. But you've just got to get the basics right, and you've got to have just a strong enough desire and have an ethic and a work practice that allows you to make progress as opposed to aim for perfection. You know, a friend of mine, Dale Momont, he mentioned that, you know, he mentions that progress is better than perfection. Mm. And I think that kind of goes for anyone who's thinking of writing a book.
Brilliant. That's a really good quote there. And we've had Dale on the show before. And I guess, you know, for me right now, I'm writing my first novel. You know, I've written a number of nonfiction books and now I'm writing a novel, and I've got exactly this again. It's like I've just got to make progress, and it can be crap, basically. You know, a first draft can be crap, can't it? It just, well, you know, first draft is never it.
A first draft is a first draft. And you know what? You know, before you know it, you kind of move on to the second draft. And before you know it, you know, you kind of think, oh, this is, you know, this is pretty good enough. Mm. This is pretty good to go to print.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so, I mean, you obviously have a family, you have a job, but you wrote your book, you know, and it's pretty big. It's quite a chunky book with lots of, you know, concepts in. So how do you have any tips for people, I guess, in the discipline of writing either every day or, you know, any tips from your experience of actually writing that book?
Sure. So I think the tip I would have, Joanna, is... because all of us are different, you know, to some extent, and have different preferences and styles. The key is to actually uncover what is a style that works for you. So I'll give you an example. For me, I'll give you an example. It took me about three years to write the book, and literally, I would say I had 80% of it written in the first year and a bit. It took me a longer time to polish it, and I was enjoying the journey so much. So I'm not necessarily the best example of how to do it quickly, if I can say so myself. But what I figured out was, and in doing that, I uncovered there was some strategies that kind of worked for me. And the strategies that worked for me was some days I wrote about 6, 7, 8 chapters. And then I had, Jonah, I had like a couple of months where I didn't write a word. So what you've got to figure out is, what's the strategy that's going to work for you? Is it at weekends? Is it when no one's around? Is it late at night? I'm a night person. So for me, you know, I've got two girls and my wife, and when they were asleep, and I could sort of work from, for example, 11 to 1 o'clock. So that was kind of like a peak period for me to be creative and to pen things out. And then sometimes I had, you know, the family kind of go out on weekends, and I would just spend the whole weekend, a whole Saturday doing some stuff. The key there, therefore, is to kind of figure out what works for you. The other thing I would say is, Joanna, it's quite easy when you don't meet your standards to beat yourself up. So I would just caution people to be gentle with themselves, because there will be times when nothing's coming out, and you know what? That's okay. And maybe what you need at that time is to go away, walk, go to a beach, you know, have a swim, get out, play some sports, whatever it is your thing, go shopping. Do whatever is your thing, and then kind of get back to it. So it's whatever your strategy is, figure that out, and then really stick to it, and don't be afraid to kind of evolve it and change it as time goes by.
No, I think that's excellent. And in fact, that, you know, the very title of your book, you know, you say be and do and live. And, you know, the do is writing that book, but also people have to live at the same time. So, you know, people shouldn't get all het up with, oh my God, I didn't write today or yesterday or the day before. You know, you've got to live your life, absolutely, but also work towards that goal.
I mean, Jen, I tell you, you know, people ask me, you know, what was the best part of this journey? And I actually had so much fun. I had so much fun writing the book, and one of the reasons why I think it took, you know, 3 years to get out was I was just having lots of fun creating it. You know, the very act of creation, you know, is, as you know, having written so many books and the novel that you're writing, is you're kind of almost like in flow, and you're in the moment, and it's a beautiful feeling. So I think people have got to go in. This is my suggestion. People should go in and with writing a book, considering that, you know, just the creation part is the reward, and everything else that happens. I mean, you know, I had a very, you know, I had a mindset which said, you know what, if it sells one copy, then that's great as well.
Yeah, and that's true. And I felt that with my first book. Actually, writing the book, you know, changed my own life. You know, and it didn't really matter in the end about anybody else.
That's right. It's kind of, you know, you know, Eckhart Tolle, as you know, says, you know, live in the now, be in the present moment. And I think that's what creation is all about.
No, that's marvelous. Right. I've got a couple more questions before we run out of time. You know, one of the bits in your book, you actually mentioned journaling as a tool. Do you think that can help writers? Well, okay, let me phrase it another way. When writers are writing a novel, so like I am right now, you feel like every word you write should be in your novel. How do you think that journaling separately can be a help in writing a novel or a nonfiction book?
I think possibly, Jana, I would sort of take it up and say that, you know, capture any and all of your thoughts, because that can potentially be raw material for what you're writing. And journaling is one aspect of that, whether that be, you know, every night or regularly or whatever. And equally, you know, walking around with a recorder, and when you see something or a thought appears in your head or an idea comes into your mind, you know, having something to record your thoughts is kind of a big part of the picture, because, you know, guess what? You never know how that might weave in to what you are creating.
Mm. No, absolutely, and I do agree with you. I really think there are no wasted words that you write down. You know, there's a purpose of for all of them, even if your personal journal is, you know, never seen and your first draft is completely deleted.
Absolutely. I mean, to give you a sense, just again, an example, Joanna, when I wrote this book, the table of contents, I actually wrote table of contents on a plane trip from Sydney obviously Australia, most people know that, to Perth, which is on the other side of Australia. So that was about a four and a half hour trip, and I was buzzing at the end of that trip because I felt I had nailed broadly the things that I wanted to write about. And all I had was a pen and a paper, and I just kind of went for it and really, found, something flew through me in that trip.
No, that's fantastic. Brilliant. Well, another question, which is kind of slightly different. looking at your book, in the first, gosh, how many pages? You know, you've got about 6 pages of testimonials here for your book, including one from Stephen Covey, author of 7 Habits of Successful People. That's right, isn't it? And, you know, a whole stack of other people. And so I wondered, how did you get such great testimonials? And can you give anyone else tips for getting testimonials?
Sure. Yeah, so just a quick correction, Joanna. That's Stephen M.R. Covey, who's the son. So he's the author of The Speed of Trust, which is a phenomenal book, by the way. So testimonials, I guess I'll sum it up in a couple of sentences. One would be, you've got to ask. because unless you ask, you never know what someone's going to give. And then the second tip is to persist. And the third tip is to really, really ask people that you genuinely, have time for, respect for, who you can make a connection with, because it's quite easy to, just go for a whole lot of people and make a generic script and send it to someone. So the tip that I got from Stephen M. R. Covey, who, in his book has got another 70-80 testimonials, was you've really got to approach people. A, decide who you want to approach, because you respect and admire them and their work. Secondly, you've got to make some sort of a connection, and that's typically through an email that basically develops some degree of rapport and politely asks them, why you're asking them and how they might be a good fit. And thirdly, you've got to persist, but not be too pushy. And there's one testimonial I have, and fourth, you've got to align with the people that, the style that people will connect with. So, for example, Brian Tracy is one of the testimonials I have. And with most people, I send them a cut down on the manuscript. But Brian basically said, that's not going to work for me. I need you to send me the whole manuscript if I'm going to give you a testimonial. So I did that, and he was very kind and gracious enough to do that. Another testimonial I got was from Daniel Pink, who's a famous author as well. And again, I did establish a relationship with him through Twitter. and we just exchanged stuff, and I asked him, and he was, again, very polite and generous and said, look, great, send me your book, and I'll see what I can do. And there was another gentleman in there, Dr. Stuart Friedman. He was a very, very busy man. He's a director at Wharton Business School, and he's an advisor to Al Gore and Jack Welch. So he's a very, very important man. And with him, it took me about 3-4 months.
Mm.
And again, I go back to what I said first. If the dream or the desire is big enough, if you want it badly enough, then things will happen. It took me 3-4 months. I made about 8-10 calls, and usually it was about 1 o'clock. And eventually, he got the time to read it and endorse it. So it was a big win.
That's a brilliant story. And just, you said several months there. When did you start looking for testimonials? How long before publication?
So I actually, Joanna, probably did it between, I reckon, about 3 to 6 months. Mm-hmm. So I had made a decision that I think testimonials are very important, because especially for a first-time author, they add social proof. So I allowed enough time to kind of have the book pretty much in a good condition before I started approaching people for testimonials. Mm. Now, having said that, I'm not suggesting that's the only way and that's the right approach. I'm saying that was kind of my experience, and it worked quite well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're brilliant, and they certainly add a lot of weight to the book, and very, very impressive. I was like, wow, that's brilliant. I wish I'd done that. That's absolutely fantastic. Okay, so we've got to finish now. We're out of time. But where can people find out more about you, and where can they find the book?
Okay, sure. So I've got a website, www.bedolive.com. So that's BEDOLIVE.com. That has some details about me and what I do and about the book. They can even look at the preview, the table of contents. You can definitely go on Amazon.com and have a look there. And, you know, I'm more than happy to, you know, receive any emails and inquiries. So my email, are you okay for me to give my email?
Yes, absolutely, if you
so
are.
So that's Rajeev, spelled R-A-J. EEV at bedolive.com. So more than happy to have any questions, any queries. You know, I know how overwhelming it can be when people think of writing a book, and I'm more than happy to help out any way I can.
That's fantastic. And of course, if anyone listening is writing self-help, then you can probably get a testimonial from Rajeev.
I will be more than happy to.
That's brilliant. Well, thanks ever so much for your time. There was just loads of information there, so I'm really grateful. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Joanna. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales, and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time.